Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
As if there's not enough going around about the Royals as of late, Buckingham Palace is now looking for a new communications assistant. The new staffer role includes ensuring the Royals' communications consistently spark interest. The job posting advertises an annual salary of about $32,700 a year and 37 and a half hours a week to work. No, thank you. Not for $32,700. No, thank you. What you'd have to go through to be an insider at Windsor, I mean, it might be enjoyable, I guess. It's definitely a stepping stone. But no, thank you. I mean, you're going to have to work on state visits and ceremonial events. And you're going to have to make sure that the communications consistently spark interest and reach a range of audience. Yeah, they all do. All eyes are on the Royals. So you're going to have to deal with the king. You're going to have to deal with the prince. You're going to have to deal with Kate. I mean, we have the Kate-spiracy going on as we speak. Do you want any part of that? No, thank you. Not for $32,000 a year. Nope, I'm good. Probably getting the boot anyway, because I would say, Kate, as the communications assistant, why don't you just walk out on the balcony and give everybody a little bit of a wave and then walk back in, and then everybody knows you're fine and we're good. And they would say, you're fired. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. It isn't just the Royals that are in turmoil. I see where the Vietnam president, Vo Van Thung, who I'm a huge fan of the Vietnam president, Vo Van Thung. He has resigned 1 year after taking office after reported unspecified violations of the governing Communist Party's rules. Huh. Then we have the Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar. He's stepping down. I guess he's going to wait until a successor is chosen before he actually goes back home. But he cited personal and political reasons. Huh. And then in Brazil, we have federal police indicting their former president, Bolsonaro, over allegations that he falsified his COVID-19 vaccination data in the country's public health database back in December of 2022. He doctored those to falsely indicate that he, his daughter, and close associates had received the vaccine. He also faces charges of criminal association for allegedly conspiring with his aides to enter the false data. How dare he? How dare he? The news follows a years-long investigation into whether the then president, who was openly skeptical of the vaccines, forged his vaccine card to bypass international entry requirements. This marks the first indictment for the former president, who faces several investigations, including corruption related to vaccine purchases from Indian pharmaceutical company Bharat Biotech in 2021 and an alleged coup attempt in 2022. Now, Brazil's prosecutors will now decide whether to file charges, which would then be judged by the Supreme Court of Brazil. I guess if they take it to court and he's found guilty, he could face 12 years in prison for falsifying this health data. That's interesting. That's interesting that they're going after him for, I mean, they must not have anything else against him. Well, they did mention that whole alleged coup attempt, but just for falsifying his COVID-19 vaccination data and his daughter and his close associates, and he made the workers, the aides, enter the data. How dare him? That's just, I mean, that's What are we talking about? Vietnam, Ireland, Brazil. Oh, and then there's Niger. Love Niger. Beautiful this time of year. They're telling the United States Air Force and our military base in Niger, get out. Okay. Airbase 201. It's the largest construction project in history. It's a massive drone center that cost American taxpayers, that's you and me, $280 million. It doesn't sound that bad when we're talking about billions going to other countries. Thanks to the change in the Nigerian leadership, we're getting out. The new nationalist government, which took power in a coup last year, has been trying to get rid of us, and we won't leave. The Nigerian colonel, Amandao Abdrabana, ordered the U.S. troops out, declaring that the American presence in the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal. And the Biden administration is stalling. There, a Pentagon spokesman said, yeah, you know, we're seeking clarification. The clarification is he said it's illegal. Get out. But we're waiting for clarification on the Nigerian government's comments. I'm not quite sure what is unclear about get out, but it seems to be unclear to the United States Pentagon and this administration. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting that the military, the man who is in charge of Niger, was trained by us, to fight against Islamic rebels. Against Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State and Boko Haram. But the problem has only gotten worse, and we trained them, and then he took over the government and said, go ahead and get out. Wow. Okay. All right. Good to know you. Take care. But what is unclear is what he meant by it's illegal. So we still have Airbase 201 inhabited by United States Air Force military, but we'll see for how long. And our military soldiers better not come to harm in Niger, I'll tell you that. Oh, and then in Russia, they were to launch 3 astronauts to the International Space Station, scheduled to lift off today. For those of you listening live, it is the 21st of March, 2024. But no, it didn't happen. The launch was aborted 20 seconds before the liftoff, and there no cause was given, but NASA said the crew was safe and would be extracted quickly from their Soyuz capsule. Yeah, because one of the astronauts, Tracy Dyson, an American, was headed back to the space station. So we'll see what happened with that. I know in couple of years ago, they had the Soyuz rocket carrying the NASA astronaut on it, Nick Hague, and that took off. That actually launched. Who's a good little rocket launcher? You are, Russia. But then 2 minutes into the launch, they said, something's wrong. And they sent the rescue capsule into a ride back to a safe landing, because that's as far as they got. They were into it 2 minutes. So I will say this. I saw SpaceX launch some satellite rockets the other night. I saw SpaceX launch some, not long ago, we saw them launch astronauts headed to the space station. So it was going to get crowded up there anyway. Probably good that Russian launch didn't happen. I will say this, though. We're still in partnership with Russia over the space program. It's kind of strange. That's got to be one of the last remaining things that we do with Russia. I mean, there's plenty of tension between Russia and the U.S. and the whole, that little thing they got going on over there in Ukraine. But we're still together for the space program? Interesting. Interesting. The United States remains the world's undisputed leader in wealth accumulation. Duh. But according to London-based investment migration consultancy Henley & Partners, and I love the London-based investment migration consultancy Henley & Partners, they released their 2024 USA Wealth Report. Certain parts of America are seeing rich residents rise rapidly. So there's plenty of places where rich people are going. Scottsdale, Arizona came in second after Austin, Texas, in terms of millionaire growth in this past decade. Florida's Palm Beach and West Palm Beach have seen their millionaire populations rise by 93% in the last 10 years. Almost doubled. Wow. Cities such as Austin, Miami, Scottsdale are gaining residents, while the traditional hubs like LA and New York and Chicago, not so much. Those cities are declining. Huh. Big surprise. Now, New York City, still, the most millionaire rich city in the U.S. By a significant margin. I mean, they say that there are 349,500 millionaires in New York. Wow. 744 centimillionaires and 60 billionaires in New York calling it home. But they claim that it's only experienced a 48% growth since 2013. I would say that it's gone way down the last year. Keep going after those businesses and finding them. That'd be great. Austin, Texas, meanwhile, home to 32,700 millionaires, 92 centimillionaires, and 10 billionaires, experienced a 110% millionaire growth rate over the same period. That's the largest increase in the U.S. In second place, I mentioned Scottsdale, Arizona, had 102% growth rate. And just incredible. Of the 11 cities ranked in the report's America's Wealthiest Cities data, New York and Los Angeles were near the bottom. Chicago took dead last. New York and L.A. saw significantly less wealth growth. Yeah, no kidding. And then we still have the metros of Dallas, Seattle, Houston, Boston, and sadly Washington, D.C., which I don't like to see on this list, as growing. Wealth is growing in those cities big time. So if you want to move to one of those cities, or maybe you live in one of those cities and want to get the heck out, don't count specifically on winning the lotto. I see where no one won the Powerball again last night. So it's up to $750 million for the jackpot. $357.3 million is the cash payout. That drawing is Saturday, March 23rd. Then you have the Mega Millions. That drawing is tomorrow night, Friday, the 22nd of March, for $977 million jackpot. $461.0 million cash payout. Let's have a moment and just think for a moment what we would do with either the $977 million jackpot or the $750 million jackpot. Okay, I know probably other than, signing the ticket and putting it in a safe and then getting my ducks in a row, part of getting my ducks in a row would be to find a new place to live. And that's when I would contact realestateagentsitrust.com. Because when you absolutely have to positively buy or sell a home, you need real estate agents you can trust. And that's why you get a hold of Real Estate Agents I Can Trust. Well, it's not I Can Trust, but that's what you want, is realestateagentsitrust.com. it has real estate agents that you can trust, but the name of it is Real Estate Agents I Trust. I mean, really, the name does say it all, right? I mean, it's Glenn Beck's company. He started a long time ago. He's tired of dealing with all those incompetent real estate agents, and he figured you might be too. Yeah, because home buying sucks, and it's a lot more work than you think it is, and they try to confuse you with a bunch of paperwork, and you don't want to be making any mistakes. So go to realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. Look, they're the best sellers in your area. They know the lay of the land, where you want to go, whether you want to move across the street or, across the country, depending on what city you want to get out of or what city you want to move to. So go to realestateagentsitrust.com and let them help you set it up. They're fans of this show and this network, so you'll have something in common. Do yourself and your family a favor. Check them out today. realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So the other day we talked about how the global chocolate industry is facing its worst crisis and prices are going through the roof and we're not going to be able to enjoy chocolate anymore unless it's for, you know, $1 million a cookie. Well, then I see a new viral trend coming out of France, which looks awesome. And why I have not made this before, I don't know, but it will be made in my home. Well, probably not by me, but it will be made in my home. It's the new crookie, C-R-O-O-K-I-E. It's a croissant filled with chocolate chip cookie dough. So that looks and sounds awesome. And I don't know what award-winning, bougie little Paris chef bread company came up with it, but it looks awesome. So it's, again, it's the crookie, and it is a croissant, a pure butter croissant, and it is filled with cookie dough, chocolate chip cookie dough. Yum, yum, yum. Now, according to this place in France, where they made it, the seventh best croissant in the Île de France region in 2022 is made every morning with a 24-hour fermented milk sourdough and layered with charcuterie butter. It also uses cookie dough, one of the best and purest chocolates in the world. Yeah, so that's got to be really expensive, but it looks really, really good, and I want one right now. Now, the French have that, and then now I find out that they've bent the knee to American fatness. Fast food restaurants are growing exponentially in France. Stores like McDonald's, Burger King, Popeye's chicken is all opening up in France now. And they have, an incredible, it's just growing. And now France has 1,500 McDonald's stores. I just feel like that's just wrong. It's France. What are we doing? We don't want McDonald's in France, do we? Honestly, do I care much about France? Not really. But it just kind of bums me out that when I think of France, I think of, croissants being baked, and I sit on a street table with an umbrella, and I have my croissant with my chocolate chip cookie dough. Not Burger King, not McDonald's, not KFC. I mean, Burger King's got over 500 locations. KFC's got 300 locations. Starbucks is opening up. They've got a few hundred stores, and now Five Guys is starting to open. I mean, we're Americanizing France, and I don't like it. But I'm sure that France does, so be it. Okay, so what is going on with Paramount Pictures? Are we selling them? Are we keeping them? I don't know. I saw where Apollo Global Management offered $11 billion for Paramount Pictures Film Studio. Now, that's, someone with inside knowledge. I mean, they consider this the jewel of Paramount Media conglomerate. I mean, hello. It's got The Godfather, Mission Impossible, Star Trek, Transformers. Yeah. And Sherry Redstone, the media conglomerate's controlling shareholder, threw her stake in the parent company, National Amusements, which was Daddy's company. Sumner acquired it back in 94, and I guess it's been on the block. So Sherry said, yeah, you know what? I don't know that I believe your $11 billion. Let me go talk to a couple other people. And one of those people is Larry Ellison. Now, Ellison is trying to buy the whole kit and caboodle, and I don't know how much that is going to be worth, but his Skydance Media has been trying to acquire National Amusements, which is over all of it. So he doesn't just want Paramount Entertainment, or what is it, Paramount Pictures. He wants the whole darn kit and caboodle. So that's what I think Sherry Redstone is after. She doesn't want to piecemeal it. You know what? Give me a whole bunch of billions of dollars, and then I'll just go ahead and give you the whole kit and caboodle. That'll be the title of the deal when Skydance Media purchases National Amusements. Kit and caboodle. Who died today? Well, let's begin with M. Emmett Walsh, a consummate actor. I loved so much of his work. He has passed away at the age of 88. M. Emmett Walsh. And I know you're going to say, M. Emmett Walsh, who is that? If you saw his picture, he's definitely, you go, oh yeah, that guy. He's been in so many movies and played so many parts. I mean, he's even said that, he had like, I don't know, 230 credits listed on IMDb. His philosophy toward acting was, I don't want you to see M. Emmett Walsh. I want you to see a garbage collector or a president of Princeton or whatever. I do every man. And also, I play hard. Amazing. And it's sad that M. Emmett Walsh passed away dead at the age of 88. Now, don't look at me like that, because they said it was cardiac arrest. Okay, that's what he died from. So, yeah, don't look at me like that. Couldn't have been that, because they would have said it. They said it was cardiac arrest. So rest in peace, M. Emmett Walsh, dead at the age of 88. Then we have Chris Simon. Chris Simon, a former NHL forward, won a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche back in 1996. He has passed away. He was at the age of 52. Now, he died in his hometown of Wawa, Ontario, Canada. And I mean, Wawa is beautiful this time of year. Anyway, they said originally when I saw the report that the cause of death wasn't immediately known. So then it comes out this morning that it was suicide. And of course, the family is blaming a CTE because of all his years of, you know, banging around in hockey, played 15 seasons in the NHL. So they believe that that is why he committed suicide. We'll see. You can't tell CTE unless you have your brain diagnosed after you die. So we'll go from there and we'll see if the studies show that that was or could have been a cause. But Chris Simon, dead at the age of 52. Then we have Daniela Thackeray, dead at the age of 25. Now, she announced her own death. The funeral was held earlier this week, but her last letter posted by her family at the end of February, after she died, received thousands of reactions and comments. She said, her letter was, I loved my life. Everything I had achieved was what I wanted. I loved my job, my fiance, my family, my friends, and my dog, and the house we were going to buy, and the future we were making for ourselves. I chose not to mourn the life I was losing, despite being so devastated, but to instead enjoy every moment I had left. Wow, just incredible. She worked as a people administrator for an advertising agency. I mean, love that gig. A people administrator for an advertising agency. Okay, this was in England. And she described herself as very healthy and active until she was diagnosed with this form of cancer in the bile ducts, which I do not wish on anyone. 8,000 people are diagnosed with this bile duct cancer in the U.S. I don't know how many, it doesn't mention she was in the U.K., but holy cow, You do not want this. You do not want this. You do not want bile duct stone, cirrhosis of the liver, or inflammatory bowel disease. You get jaundice, dark urine, clay-colored stool, abdominal pain, fever, itchy skin, nausea and vomiting, unexplained weight loss. Oh, man. And treatment is, well, there really isn't any treatment. And once you're diagnosed with it, they try to give you all kinds of chemotherapy and radiation and maybe a transplant, but no. You usually don't pull through the bile duct cancer diagnosis. I mean, it sounds like a very cruel disease. And its full name is...
cholangiocarcinoma.
Right. That's kind of why we call it bile duct cancer.
Cholangiocarcinoma.
Yeah, that's what it's called. And you don't want it. Rest in peace to Daniela Thackeray, dead at the age of 25. Then we have, well, let's keep going on who died today. Willie James Pye, 59, dead. Now, we went ahead and executed him in the state of Georgia last night. He was executed for the 1993 murder of his former girlfriend, who was, he did horrible things to her. And he requested not to be executed because he was intellectually disabled and remorseful. And so the last execution in Georgia was conducted in January of 2020. You know, before the pandemic. So when they went before the appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court and the justices declined, and then they went to some of the other courts and the Georgia Parole Board, and they were like, we're going to go ahead and execute him. And they did. And so his last meal was two chicken sandwiches, two cheeseburgers, French fries, two bags of plain potato chips, and two lemon lime sodas. So, Willie James Pye, 59, dead. And many would say, good. And we continue on with who died today. Grande, this is the full name, a Bennett's Tree kangaroo. So I'm not sure how old it was. It doesn't say how old the Grande Bennett's Tree kangaroo was. It was transferred to Ukraine from St. Petersburg in 2019. I'm guessing at St. Petersburg, Russia, not St. Petersburg, Florida, USA. And it quickly, of course, became a favorite at the zoo, given her attachment to humans and love of being hand-fed. I will say this, I'm not opposed. I'm a fan of being hand-fed, but I'm not a Bennett's Tree kangaroo. Now, they don't know. They're going to perform, they say an autopsy, but isn't that a necropsy? Anyway, they're going to determine whether she was pregnant at the time of her death. Oh, no. So they may have, she may have had a little one in her pouch as well. And so there are no words. No words. They typed up a bunch of them, but they say there are no words to convey the pain and anger and the powerlessness that happened to Grande, the Bennett Tree kangaroo, who died in the Belgorod Zoo in Western Russia, killed by an attack on Tuesday. You bastards. That's what this war has done. That's what this war has done. All right. I don't know. I guess it was a Ukrainian attack. I don't think Russia would be attacking themselves. But we do know that Grande, the Bennett Tree kangaroo, was killed in the attack. So it was at least 5 years old, maybe six. And maybe even had a baby. So rest in peace to Grande, the Bennett Tree kangaroo. Then, one more, who died today? It's a baby giraffe found dead at a zoo in Miami. I'm not laughing. I don't know how it happens, but it was a 3-month-old female giraffe. I don't know Did they say that the three-year-old giraffe had a name? I mean, they usually name them all, right? It doesn't say. So maybe they didn't. Maybe this was just, I don't know, a giraffe. Born on December 15th, found dead over this past weekend when employees came in. They are performing a necropsy. Yes, see, at least Zoo Miami calls it by the proper terminology. They determined that she died of asphyxiation after breaking her neck. Now, when you think, how would a giraffe die? You'd say, well, maybe the giraffe broke its neck. According to Zoo Miami, that's not common for giraffes to break their necks. But they believe that something must have startled the young giraffe, and it ran directly into a fence, which then broke its neck. And so they're... The zoo staff are closely monitoring the herd for any indication of stress. Yeah, why would the herd have stress? What happened? We watched our little three-month-old baby run into a fence and die. So rest in peace to the three-month-old giraffe from Zoo Miami. They, you know, hope that it doesn't happen to any more giraffes. Giraffes are now killing themselves in America. So something has to be done. Something has to be done. Speaking of people who are dead, I mean, there's ongoing investigations. The death of Angela Chow in Texas back in February, where she drowned. She ran her Tesla into a pond on a private farm. She was found dead after, you know, the car was submerged on a ranch in Johnson City, which is, right there. It's 40 miles outside of Austin. And they tried to resuscitate her for a long time, and, just obviously didn't happen. And originally they called it an unfortunate accident. Yeah. But they also referred to it as not a typical accident. Huh. Well, we got the blood work back, and she was heavily intoxicated when she perished in the car accident. Now, remember, she is the sister of Elaine Chao. Oh, that's the wife of Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. The Blanco County Sheriff's Office is now said that, we've concluded that Chow's death was an unfortunate accident. Her blood alcohol content was nearly three times the state legal limit. Wow. She was at a dinner party. She frantically called her friends to tell them that she was trapped in the car. Now, they tried to swim out to help her, but it was too late. Wow. Okay. So in the story, it talks about, she was in a Tesla, and a Tesla users, I guess, have complained that their design leads to accidental shifting into reverse when the driver intends to drive forward. That may be, but that's not Tesla's fault when you're a drunk. Okay? When you're three times the legal limit of alcohol in your system, that's not Tesla's fault. Okay, sorry. Also, I know car safety experts have said what you should do is, if you're going to the water, you should immediately, lower your windows and swim out. Don't try to call people. That wastes seconds. Yeah, okay, well, she was drunk and wasn't thinking straight. So it's not, it's just sad. It's a sad thing. And it is, as the Sheriff's Department said, an unfortunate accident. Now, I asked her to rest in peace before when we originally did the story, but Angela Chow, dead at the age of 50, rest in peace. Then we have the Boeing whistleblower, John Barnett. That's an ongoing investigation. He committed suicide, right? And he was testifying, and he apparently said to a family friend, "If anything happens to me, it's not suicide." Huh. Well, he was found dead in his pickup truck in a Charleston, South Carolina hotel parking lot on March 9th. That's the same day he was due to conclude his closed-door testimony in a lawsuit slapped against his former employee. Huh. So authorities are still probing his death. Okay, but his family friend says, I know that he did not commit suicide. There is no way that he would kill himself. The friend, I keep thinking it's a she. I don't remember if it was a she or not. But the friend claimed that, it is a she, because the friend claimed Barnett had speculated to her that he might end up dead after he started speaking out publicly about his Boeing-related safety concerns following his retirement in 2017. No, stop. He said he wasn't scared of anything, and if anything happens to me, it's not suicide. That is according to the friend. So, you know, the investigation is still ongoing on that. We'll see if anything actually comes of that. Or does it just go away? I see where Boeing warned investors that this is going to come as a surprise to everyone. It's looking at a big loss for Q1. You think? According to this little headline, it says, struggles with the continued fallout from a door plug coming off the plane. Yeah, it's more than that, but okay. Sure. If you want to just blame it on that little door plug thing, you go right ahead. I mean, I don't think that Boeing is just going to go away, but it's not going to be pretty for a while. I mean, it's not going to be pretty for Planet Fitness for a while, as we've got the trans guy in the bathroom in Alaska. They've lost, I don't know, $500 million. And we'll see. That will probably continue for a while. And I see where Hertz is going to be struggling. It's not going to be pretty for a while either. I mean, the CEO is out after his big gamble on EVs. So there's several companies that, you can quote me on this, it's not going to be pretty for a while. And that actually holds true for everyone with the way things are going in this country and around the world. It's not going to be pretty for a while. All right, I want to get out of here. I'm going to leave you with the joke of the day. This one actually made me laugh out loud this morning, and I have to share it. I was in Walmart yesterday, and this elderly lady was in front of me, and her total came to $279.68, but her card was declined. So you already know what I did. God will bless me one day. It was a lot of groceries, but I helped her put it all back. That's so kind. So kind. I mean, that takes a lot of time. $280.68. $279.68. Not as many groceries as it used to be, but still takes quite a bit of time to put them all back. And that's very kind. So always important to do what you can. Always.
And subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.